Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. Look at that day outside. It's really smartened up since first thing this morning. It's a lovely day across the Isle of Man. Here are the test numbers. 26,311 tests have taken place. 26,299 concluded. That means 12 people waiting for results. 85 people waiting for tests. There are 50 active cases of coronavirus on the Isle of Man. 2 people in hospital. And 413 vaccinations yesterday, but it's all happening today, of course, because of the Oxford vaccine. And you're invited to get in touch. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, call 661368. Police are reminding you that offering home collection on buy and sell sites isn't allowed during lockdown. There was a post made on the police Facebook page after reports some people are still offering Manx buy and sell as an option. Police have copied information from the COVID frequently asked questions site to assist. And it says, can people continue to buy and sell on Facebook and other social media sites in line with the stay-at-home provisions unless it is to attend a place of work or go shopping or another essential or emergency reason? We would not expect people to be travelling to other households to deliver or pick up items. Basically, we do not expect buy and sell to continue between private households as part of the lockdown circuit break. So if you're buying and selling on Manx Buy and Sell, you're not supposed to. A note in from Moira just said she got a pre-recorded telephone call on her landline saying the Amazon Prime account is due to renew and they want £79 to reactivate it. Only problem is Moira doesn't have an Amazon Prime account, so it's a scam. She put the phone down. If you get a phone call to say your Amazon Prime is due to be paid, then you know exactly what to do as well. And Pat's note in to the radio station just said the government shouldn't relax the lockdown just yet. The UK reporting that a lot of people are still testing positive after 21 days. The majority of self-employed in the construction industry still haven't had their tax rebates for the 1920 tax year. And for many, it's a large sum of money. If the government would pull their finger out and sort the tax, they wouldn't have to pay MIRA in many cases, says Pat. We're also looking to the fact the steam packet has introduced a blanket ban on transporting domestic animals. Now, naturally, this is going to have an impact on the number of people expecting to be able to go over and collect new pets, obviously with a requirement of self-isolation on return as well. It could also impact people who may need to seek specialist veterinary treatment for their pets in the UK. The government website offered, we're trying to get to the bottom of it, the information's a bit conflicting on their website. And basically the line is, can I collect my pet from the UK? We've heard from a lady who's due to pick up a puppy in February who's concerned she'll lose the money she's paid out for the puppy if she can't get over or have it put on the boat. She won't be the only one, I'm sure. And in fact, if you're in that category, if you're looking to collect a pet from the UK, well, that's it. The steam packet's introduced a total blanket ban on the transport of domestic animals. Text, email or call. Any thoughts on your mind? Want to hear from you as well. Andy just said, listening to Claire Barber this morning on Manx Radio winds me up. Has she been listening to death figures across from COVID or has she had her head buried in the sand? Just yesterday, 1,820 deaths. Devastating news to families who've lost loved ones. And she's on about relaxing the rules so UK residents can come across and visit the Isle of Man. My message to Mrs. Barber is to wake up. Has anybody seen the UK car outside the Savoy this morning? You can't miss it. It's the paint scheme of a Union Jack. Is it a prom worker from the UK? Obviously, they know more about our lockdown than we do. People going back to work saw this car and thought COVID car. Mike's with us. Hello, Mike.
Yes?
Mick. Sorry, Mick.
Yes. Hello, Andy.
You're live on the air, Mick.
Thank you. All right, Andy. What I want to talk about is they're talking about relaxing the border.
And what do you think?
Well, yesterday in the UK there was 1,800 deaths. And the day before that there were 1,600 deaths. I think it's far too soon to relax the border and let people in.
Even with restrictions and self-isolation rules?
Well, if people are coming over for on compassionate grounds, where are they going to go?
Well, they'll have to go somewhere, won't they?
Won't they? They can't go to the people they're hoping to visit. And how many days are they in isolation now? 21 days?
It's 21 now, yeah.
Yeah. So that's 3 weeks out of the when they come over.
So your message to the Chief Minister will be what, Mick?
Keep the border as it is for the present time.
Okay.
Until they start, the deaths start falling to a level what shows that they're getting on top of the virus.
Okay. All right, Mick, thanks for calling us today. It's 13 minutes past 12. Regular reviews of the island's border restrictions showing travel to the Isle of Man for compassionate reasons and a fresh look at the island's employment situation. Now, they were just some of the issues discussed at a lengthy debate on the government's management of the coronavirus pandemic in Tynwald. Douglas Central MHK's Chris Thomas motion calls for a number of changes and it received unanimous support after a two-hour debate.
The handling of compassionate travel, getting the message across to the public why elimination of a threat is more realistic than elimination of the COVID virus. All themes developed by Tynwald members as Chris Thomas's substantial motion enable members to discuss once again how the government is handling COVID. There were emotive descriptions and verbal pictures painted of the myriad ways in which island life is being hit. Claire Barber likened the virus to a bully in a playground. Mr Thomas said there were many families in fear of being wiped out financially. A couple of amendments were accepted. Laurie Hooper's to have a review of the rules on compassionate travel, and Health Minister David Ashford's wish to have a Comyn report into the concept of an emergency advisory group pushed further into the year than the February Tynwald sitting suggested. But let's hear some of those contributions.
This pandemic has shown us in the Isle of Man that what I've known and many of us have known for a great number of years is that there are a great number of families and households on the Isle of Man who are one rainy day from wipeout.
Could some workers have continued to work throughout this circuit breaker lockdown where they work alone or could stay over 2 metres away from others and work outside? How can businesses access additional essential workers to allow their businesses to continue to operate, given the borders closures currently in place? How can a testing strategy evolve to enable the opening up of borders for specified reasons? And I'm certainly not suggesting or advocating a free-for-all. Should we be looking for a more permanent testing location and perhaps regional testing locations to avoid the travel for those people who we know are COVID positive? In what circumstances are masks best used and what support can we give to those who are vulnerable to ensure that they have access to them? How should our self-isolation rules look and do we need to review the case for permitting self-isolation with another person in specified compassionate circumstances? The saddest thing is that many of those contacting me about the impact of this are key workers, those who can't travel as their service simply can't facilitate it. We need to find a way to support travel to the island under a 3A style system by using that robust testing and isolation regime. COVID is not simply going to disappear because the vaccine has arrived. It's a little bit like a playground bully reassessing its position and working out how to strengthen itself. We need to outsmart it, and to do this, we should draw on the expertise within our community from a well-rounded group, allowing for well-rounded consideration and well-rounded policy.
The island is in a really reasonably good place. We have been in a very good place for months with a system that was working effectively. We now have an enhanced system in place that actually should do what the previous system was lacking. And yet, in amongst all of this, the island is risking developing a reputation that we're a place that tackled COVID well, but only by taking measures that disproportionately impacted not only individuals, but also our wider society and our future economic activity. And that's especially true when we look at how some of our competitor jurisdictions like Guernsey have managed to fight off the virus without having to take such draconian measures.
We cannot remain static. Our borders cannot be impermeable or watertight. But to say that we can eliminate the threat, eliminate it to the point where we've got it to an irreducible minimum, that strikes me perhaps as a more realistic strategy, where you can continue to hold on to that concept of elimination, but you are modifying the strategy, modifying the policy as the circumstances dictate.
We have a paper to discuss tomorrow that we'd already requested on how we can turn back things like the compassionate travel. So it's not something that is new. We've been thinking about this for a little while now and the need to do that. So far, the short circuit break has worked well, but we can't be complacent on that. But we've now had 2 days with no cases in the community. Long may that continue. Obviously, it's not our policy to have total elimination forever. It's a short-term position whilst the vaccination happens, and more is learnt on how long the vaccination lasts for. Does it stop the spread, or the person, once they've been vaccinated, from passing on the virus? These are items that we still don't know.
The whole amended motion went through without a vote being cast against. Something of an achievement for Chris Thomas.
John Marsh reporter there, you heard Chris Thomas MHK, Claire Barber MHK, Laurie Hooper MHK, the Lord Bishop Peter Eagles was in there, and lastly, of course, Chief Minister Howard Quayle. Well, there is a Comin meeting on at the moment, and there will be a briefing this afternoon, 4 o'clock, live on Manx Radio, all frequencies, and also on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page as well. So that'll be live this afternoon. Everybody is keeping everything crossed. It's not a given that things are going to be relaxed in any way. In fact, they may be the first words that the Chief Minister says. We don't know, but we'll find out later on today. We're on day 15 of 21 day lockdown number 2, the circuit break. On another subject, the bride toilets are open. I asked yesterday, we're doing water closet watch. Thank you, Graham. Water closet watch today for all essential workers and people who are driving and delivering stuff across the Isle of Man. The loos in Bride are open. The public toilets on Douglas Promenade are closed, but the ones on the breakwater are open. And Castletown public loos are open. Mind you, there's only 2 in the whole town. Says Mark. Loos at the railway station in Port Erin are open. Public toilets by the bowling alley in Ramsey are open, says Chris of Manx Independent Carriers, and the Jervy public toilets are open as well. I received a shielding letter, says Terry, last year, but as of today I haven't received a letter this time. Does that mean this time I don't need to shield? Well, you need to give them a call, Terry. Call the 686262 if you want to give them a call, or 111, they'll be able to tell you, I'm sure. They'll probably have your records there. Graham says, Andy, now police have decided that collections from people buying and selling aren't allowed. What happens if your fridge or television breaks down? Are there no shops open to buy one? But you could get one from a classified site, but you're not allowed to have it picked up. I think this is a bit silly. The powers that be really have to think these things through. Does it mean people like ShopRite and Tesco and Takeaways and Hermes Parcels can't deliver? Well, those are the rules. I don't think it's the police deciding. I think it's the rules that are happening. Police have posted it, but they're saying Manx buy and sell. They can't be. I'm presuming that some people are taking the mickey and doing it willy-nilly all the time, or running a business. But that's the rule. That's what they're saying, that you can't do deliveries, private deliveries to and from. Howard's on now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Fine, thanks. Just as I said to Barry, keep my head down, keep me out of the way. just listening to, I've only just come back in the house, and I recognise the voice that was on there a minute ago, Mick. And I've known Mick for many, many years. He was a close neighbour of ours, and a very sensible man, and not the person to go around kicking dust in somebody's face. So what he says is generally well thought out and a sensible solution to most things. So But listen to, I think, Chris Thomas, and particularly that Claire Barber, who was a nurse, and she must know what these people are going through. Does she want to open up the floodgates to all her previous colleagues and staff and people who have come onto the island for nursing? Does she want to open up the floodgates just for 5 minutes so that the a few of her friends in the hotels and various other aspects of the economy can run around saying, look how good we are? There's an awful lot of people, 700 people a week coming into the island. Now you take that as an equation of just 1%, that is still a lot of people who are coming in that could well be positive. The Christmas and New Year was a classic example. We were perfectly clear up until then, and then they let rip with this, let the students in, let the people in from Compassionate, let the people go off the island. That was an open invitation to this virus. And I watched a program the other night, and my wife recorded for me. Okay, you've got to take a lot of this with a pinch of salt. But what this Claire Barber is proposing is exactly what was happening around the world, where people were disbelieving that the virus is such a deadly problem. And they're saying now we're into day 15. We're only day 15 of the lockdown. We're not day 15 or anything like it of having a clear island of the virus like we were before Christmas.
Well, as you say, Howard, Claire Barber is she's still qualified as a nurse. She's a medical professional. She's not become a bad nurse overnight. So why do you think this is on her mind?
Well, I wouldn't like to say because litigation is a very strong subject. But I think there are, within certain aspects of the government, I think there's arms up the back and a lot of pressure being put on. And it's wrong that the population of the Isle of Man should be put in jeopardy, and that's exactly what it is, in jeopardy for the sake of a few profiteers. And that is what they're looking to. The economy, Mr. Cannell was saying, we're in good position economy-wise. And then the next breath is saying, well, we can't afford to do this, can't afford to do that. And that's all, again, down to commercial pressure. Please, I plead with Mr. Quayle and Mr. Ashford and his clinical advisors not to move the barriers that we have. The 100 mile of water is a brilliant safeguard, and it's the only way of controlling what is out of control in the UK.
Everything, Howard.
I can't understand why people.
But everything, Howard.
An island.
Everything is a balance, isn't it? And the Chief Minister, the Health and Social Care Minister, all the clinical people have been trying to strike a balance. And at some point, do you remember last year when they eased the lockdown for gardeners and window cleaners and construction, and then it was retail, and then suddenly everything opened out last summer? They took a view and they came to a balanced judgment. Do you think, do you trust them to do that again?
I am trusting them to do it again, but not open up the floodgates. Because at the present moment, looking at all the TV, no matter what channel, no matter what paper you read, it's out of control in the UK. Now, would you want to encourage people from a war zone to come into your territory, not knowing what they're bringing with them? And that's exactly
and it is.
What the UK is at the moment.
Yeah, it's the not knowing, isn't it, Howard? We don't know what happened over Christmas. Something certainly happened over Christmas, but we don't quite know what.
Well, we do know. They allowed hundreds of students to come back to the island. They allowed a lot of people to come back for Christmas. They did allow, and one particular teacher up in the north of the island was advocating, and I want my teachers to go away because they haven't seen their parent or whatever for X number of months. What happened in the last war when they were going away and away for 4 and 5 years, never seeing their fathers, their brothers, their sisters, otherwise? They've just got to knuckle down and get on with it. And this here will eventually disappear. It's going to be hard work, but the hard work has got to come from us as well.
Okay. All right, Howard, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us today.
Bye
now. Thanks a lot. Why is there a traffic jam on Peel Road by McDonald's, says this correspondent. I think because there's lots of people queuing at McDonald's and probably not driving properly. My husband was booked for a vaccine today at 11:30. Everywhere was locked with no sign of the hut being open. This was the eye clinic at Nobles, all confirmed and expected to happen, says Melanie. But it didn't happen as well. Don't know who to complain to. A new subject as well. I hope they'll make it illegal for planners to allow the planting of forest-sized trees in housing estates. They might look fine as saplings, but once fully grown, they are absolutely enormous. And we need to do something about that, says Sue. So that's the you're saying that the authorities should not allow saplings to be planted. I'm in my mid-90s. I think it's ridiculous that I've got to go to Douglas for my vaccine. How can I do that without mixing with others? Where am I supposed to leave my car? Well, again, if you call the COVID hotline, 111 or 686262, they'll tell you all about that, depending on where you are, what the protocol is, how you go there. Put your mind at rest and tell you all the facts. But if you don't get in touch with them, they can't tell you. That Carlisle flag's been here for a while. I drive past it on the old Archers Road every night for the past few weeks. You'd think with MHKs screaming to open the borders. Well, they're not screaming, are they? That they're itching to get away for a holiday. We're back with the planting as well. I wish they wouldn't allow, the planners wouldn't allow planting forest-sized trees in housing estates. They grow to fill front gardens, block light and block drains, and they could fall on houses and cars. Homeowners are stuck with the cost of the care of these trees, says Sue. What do we do about it? Well, you can cut it down. Well, it's small, I suppose. You don't need a license to cut something that's big down, do you? Did I say that? Text, you can email, you can call. What's on your mind where this is concerned? I disagree with some of your callers. I agree with Claire Barber. Coronavirus isn't going to go away anytime soon. We have to work around coronavirus. It's as simple as that, says Pam. Do you work around it or do you hunker down, as it were? Here's Stephen with us. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I was very pleased, actually, yesterday with the motion that was brought to the court, because I do feel that it was what is needed. Because from what I can see of reading all the information, the virologists and the epidemiologists and everybody who are experts in the field say that we are going to have to learn to live with the virus for many years to come as it keeps on changing and mutating, and to constantly use the draconian approach that we have done. And that did work. I did say last time, I do think that there should have been bubbles created for single people and households to mix with another bubble. And I do think that is something that should still be considered by this group, this advisory group, if it's brought up, never mind just enabling them to see how other people can come in from off island. So I do think that this is a step in the right direction, and it's one that should be supported by us all, because it is so easy to adopt a draconian approach and say, shut up the drawbridge. But there is a great cost to pay for that approach, not only in economic terms, but in mental health terms. If you're in a family household, then normally you've got the comfort and ability to bounce off each other. Now, for single people who don't have that, to just say you can't meet somebody, because if you do meet somebody, you're going to go into the slammer, I think is not the best approach.
So we're in the realms of risk assessment then, Steve. And if you say this is going to be around, or something like it is going to be around for a long time, who draws the line where?
Well, I'm afraid, Andy, I think that that's going to be the result of trial and error. It's going to be, we're going to have to try some things. Some things will not work. Others will. I do think that that's the only way we can make progress with it. Sometimes we'll get it wrong. other times we won't. But to just continue with the draconian approach, it does work, yes, but there's a cost to pay. That cost is not only economical, it's in mental health and physical health, because it's not just people who go to hospital with COVID who are losing out. It's people who have other medical problems which are not being dealt with. So it's, as I say, it's an approach that we've got to learn to evolve, not to say this is the only approach, we've done this in the past, and this is what we're going to do. We as a society have done this all the time. We've evolved. And in my view, the way to deal with this threat is we're going to have to evolve with it.
OK, Stephen, thanks for calling us today. Good to be with you. Here's Mike with us now. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Andy. Andy, how many vaccines do you say we're going to do today?
Sorry, say that again.
The vaccination today, yes. How many do they say they expect it to do?
I don't know, but they've been doing anywhere near 400 of the Pfizer. It's the Oxford one today, isn't it? Are you queuing up for a vaccination?
No, what I'm going to tell you now is this. I had a text last week. The vaccine hub for 11:30 on Thursday. I've had a letter for the same and exactly the same thing. I'm now sat outside the hub. First of all, it's been completely locked up, and I'm still sat here. Anyway, I finally found a nurse that was going in, and she said we do vaccinations on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So I've got this letter and my text on my phone, and there's not a soul about. So,
and which hub, whereabouts are you?
I'm outside Newlands, which is the hub for the vaccination.
And is that what it said on your letter, Newlands?
Yeah, no, it didn't say anything on Newlands. It just said either Nobles Hospital or the clinic. And this is meant to be the clinic. This is the right place, the girl said.
And how long have you been waiting outside?
Well, I'm still here now. Which is an hour after my appointment, I've just met a nurse going in, and she's the one that's just told me that they do it Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
So, is there anybody else there?
Nobody here. No, not a sausage. So I don't know how they got my date, but there you go.
I'd get on the phone to them and see what they say about it.
Actually, I've phoned Treble One, and I phoned for the vaccine hub department. Our wait is 25 minutes. So I've put my phone down on that one. There's no one answering. I've tried the number on my letter, and they say, well, we're just Ward 20. We can't tell you anything about the vaccine hub. It's a complete chaos.
Not very impressive.
So, no. So there you go. And I showed the nurse my text on my phone, and she said, well, reception at the hospital and complain about it.
Okay.
That's no good. I just don't know what I'm going to do now.
Okay, Mike. Well, let us know what happens. It'll be interesting to know how that situation's resolved. Something not going right there at all. Thanks for being with us today. Well, no new cases detected yesterday, second day in a row. 50 active cases, 12 awaiting results, 85 waiting to be tested, 2 in hospital. And the news is that the vaccination programme will continue today because it's Oxford that's being used. Wow. Tony, hello, Tony.
Hiya, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind, Tony?
Right, I've been listening to Man in Line, and we've heard this repeated several times before, and the comments today are even more ridiculous. The fact that you should be letting people in because we've got to live with it into the future is rubbish. You need to keep the people out, you need to keep the borders closed until you stop community spread. Once you have that done, then you can do some relaxation. And eventually, when we are all injected with a vaccine, you can return to normal. And people will still catch this COVID-19, just like they catch flu each year. But the point will be you'll have herd immunity. A large proportion of people will simply have a cold, go to bed for 2 days, and be fine. They won't end up in a hospital on a breathing machine. That's the point. If you let people in who carry COVID, and for whatever reason they're missed, it'll be in the community again, and you'll end up with 10 people in beds in Nobles on breathing apparatus.
So what do we have to wait to happen in the UK before we open our borders?
Right. We have to wait until we have everybody in the Isle of Man vaccinated before you open them completely. Or you have to wait until the UK's got everybody vaccinated. Because herd immunity, although it's a catchphrase, makes the number of people ending up in hospital much less. And the ones that do end up there will be people that will suffer anyway, even with a regular flu. Because all that COVID-19 is a different variety of flu.
And so we wait until everybody is vaccinated on the Isle of Man or in the UK, and then we see what happens.
No, then you'll be able to travel back and forwards as you like, and you will still see people ending up in hospital with serious COVID complications, but there'll be a lot less of them.
Because obviously coronavirus is a generic term, and there are many types of coronavirus.
Correct. This is just not one of millions of them. But we have to protect against this because we have no innate protection. There's no historical protection of people who've had a virus, got over it, and now have antibodies. Because we don't have it today.
Tony, thanks for being with us. Good to talk to you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I hope it clears things up for some people because nobody seems to be looking at it from a technical and sensible point of view.
All right, 22 minutes before one now.
Songs to wash your hands to.
Gov guidelines say you must wash your hands for 20 seconds to fight off coronavirus. If you need help timing, that's... Just like that, all together. Stay safe from all of us at Manx Radio. Brought to you by the team at Spectrum Windows. Spectrum Windows, brightening island homes with windows, doors and conservatories for over 25 years.
Do you run a small business? Are you unsure who to turn to for help? From lockdown support to business planning, the accountants at Nicola Bowker & Co. are here for you. Find us at nicolabowker.co.uk and get in touch.
We can all do our bit to help the environment. Here at Man Waste Recycling, we tailor our services to individual businesses by providing recycling solutions for cardboard, paper, UPVC, plastics, cans, cartons and more. We'll advise you on how your business can recycle so you can help make our island even more environmentally friendly.
Man Waste Recycling, call today.
Motivate's Family Service offers free, confidential counselling and support to parents, children and young people impacted by alcohol, gambling or drugs misuse.
It's been fantastic to talk to someone and not feel judged.
The Motivate charity needs £150,000 annually to run this vital branch of its service.
It's helped me understand my mum better.
Any support you can give will be welcome. For donations, fundraising information and more, call 627 656. Motivate. Help us create a brighter future for young people.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
All courtesy of the Isle of Man Railway's Time Train.
Did you meet the Rolling Stones, Twiggy or Mary Quant? Do you remember Tipped Weights, Opal Fruits or Jamboree Bags? Did you listen to the latest pop record on Radio Caroline North or Radio Luxembourg? Well, whether the answer is yes or no, Carnaby Street puts you right at the heart of the sights, sounds and atmosphere of one of the most influential periods of social history, the 1960s. Jump on board the Time Train with Isle of Man Railway and me, Chris Williams, every Saturday morning from 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 19 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock. Somebody messaged in and said, why are you telling us about toilets? Because we've been doing this public toilet thing. We're calling it Water Closet Watch. And if you know any public loos that are open, then tell us. We know Bride, the Breakwater in Douglas. Castletown public loos are open as well. Port Erin Railway Station, the Ramsey Bowling Alley ones, and Jerby as well. Because lots of people, particularly anybody who's driving for a living or delivering as well. And somebody also said, if you're walking by the water, lots of people need them as well. And I got a pain text in yesterday. It said, and men with prostate problems. Yes, well, moving swiftly on. What happens if somebody catches COVID from someone on the island from the UK on compassionate grounds? What will Mr. Hooper say then? It could cost them their life. Is that what we're paying MHK is for, says John. I think Mr. Hooper needs to take note of the UK death rate at present before he starts giving lectures on how to run our border policy. Must be election year, says Andy. And give employers a break if employees don't want the vaccine and it precludes employees from carrying out their work. Can they be fired, or do employers just keep carrying the can for the epidemic? Well, this is the story about employers can't insist that you have a vaccine. The message from the Manx Industrial Relations Service, MERS. It's advising those in the workplace to talk about benefits surrounding the jab whilst remaining sensitive to individual concerns. Ewan Gorn spoke to Julie Bradley from the Manx Industrial Relations Service to find out what would happen if an employer insisted staff were vaccinated.
Well, I think, again, the employee could refuse to have the vaccine. And if the employer feels that there is no option but for the staff to have it, then the natural process an employer would go through would be to take them through a disciplinary process. You know, that exists in the terms and conditions of a people's employment. And like any issue, any disciplinary issue, you'd expect the employer to follow that fairly. I think where there isn't an absolutely compelling reason to have the vaccine, if someone was ultimately dismissed for refusal, it could give rise to an unfair dismissal claim. And obviously we haven't had any go through the courts as yet, but it would be for the courts and the tribunal to determine whether in all the circumstances in this individual case that the dismissal of a person was the fair response to the refusal of the vaccine.
And is that more likely to take place, do you think, in a situation where somebody refuses the vaccine, perhaps for philosophical beliefs more than a health reason?
Well, again, a good question, because if someone has a very strong view about the vaccine and refuses to have it purely on that basis, then we have got equality legislation in the Isle of Man. We've had it since 2017. And one of the protected characteristics in that equality legislation is around people's religion and beliefs. And it could well be that somebody who's opposed to the vaccination could actually try and prove that that belief is protected in law. And if, as long as it was a belief that was genuinely held and is worthy of respect, a tribunal could actually find that that is discrimination on its own.
So what's the advice to employers then when they're setting policy? Is it to try and strike a sort of sensible balance?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the advice we would give. First and foremost, talk to staff. Provide information available from public health as to what the benefits of the vaccine are. Talk to your staff. If you've got a recognised trade union, of course, talk to them too, and outline the benefits of what the vaccine would bring for the workforce, for the individual and the people they might look after as well. There's lots of resources available online to provide that information.
12:45 on Manx Radio, and here's Chris. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hello, Andy. I got up this morning and listened to the radio, and I couldn't believe that the government are considering to slacken the border so people can come across. You know, the death rate in the UK is just absolutely soaring, isn't it? And it's not only the death rate. You know, there's a lot of people getting really ill with COVID, and the government want to make the borders, you know, slacken the borders so it can get across easier. I think they should shut them virtually permanently for until things calm down in the UK or other countries even. You know, we've got a real good chance of having an island here where we can all move around freely and go back to work, but it's purely the borders that's letting it all in. 50 cases of COVID on the island, and they want to make it easier for people to travel to the island. You know, I'm speechless. I'm absolutely speechless.
Chris, what about people who are waiting for surgery, people who are waiting for treatment for medical conditions, the people they need medical professionals to come in?
I fully understand that. And, you know, and fine, carry on with that. Because then people, when they come back, they self-isolate at home, don't they?
And key workers that we definitely need, but I'd love to see a list of key workers that we've had so far, because I think a lot of the key workers are not needed. That's just my opinion. But yeah, medical, of course we've got to travel for medical and back again, not a problem. But, you know, I just really would clamp down on the borders. We've got to save the people of the island, look after the island first. I think the government, if they do slacken the borders, I think it's just totally outrageous. I really do.
Okay.
Just listen to your radio. You know, most of the people today are saying, you know, don't slacken the borders. But anyway, that's my opinion, Andy.
Thanks, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Fancying something a bit different to eat? Try the Lemongrass Thai Restaurant at the Ginger Hall in Sulby. Bursting with traditional Thai dishes cooked to perfection by our very own Chef Veeman. Throughout lockdown, we'll be operating our collection and delivery service. To order for collection or delivery, call us on 89 85 84 and enjoy in front of the TV on a cold evening. See why Lemongrass is being called one of the best new takeaways on the island at lemongrass88.com.
Don't miss this amazing new boiler offer from Manx Gas. Replace your old boiler with a brand new boiler with smartphone control that keeps you in control of your home heating wherever you are, all for just £30 per month with 5 years interest-free credit. For comfort and smartphone control, get a brand new boiler now from Manx Gas. Call 644444 for details or visit manxgas.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
9 minutes to one. We can't possibly relax our borders. No way. Why do people have to attend funerals? It's not compulsory. Why should our population be put at risk simply because of this? If there's good news tonight about going back to work for certain trades, then it should be an instant go back to work tomorrow, not next week. As last lockdown, it was announced that some workers could go back to work in 3 days. What happened was, as soon as the announcement was made, workers were jumping into their vans the next day. The announcement needs complete clarification if it's a positive announcement. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. We just know that hint that was dropped a few days ago by the Chief Minister that says he hoped to be making an announcement this Thursday, which is today, 4 o'clock, live on Manx Radio. The Chief Minister will be along with a COVID update. There's a COMIN meeting, Council of Ministers meeting, going on at the moment, and they'll have all the numbers in front of them, and they'll all be obviously making recommendations. I agree with Mick, says Karen, even with restrictions, which we had at Christmas, and going how things are now, what's the minister thinking of? An interesting letter to the Manx Independent saying that a greater priority should be given to the under 80s getting the vaccine. I know health workers have received it, but all key workers should receive it now. First, they're keeping the island going, not old people in care homes. This is a very controversial comment. Don't give out my name. Well, you didn't give it to me. But thanks anyway as well. If there's a blanket ban on carrying pets on the steam packet, does this apply to livestock? We're trying to find out a comment. We're trying to get that clarified by government. But this is it. No domestic pets on the steam packet. Now, Timwald approves production of cannabis for medicinal purposes for export, but not for medicinal use here, says John. Clearly, it's morally wrong to use it, but okay to make money from it as it's elsewhere. Strange moral compass. And that's, I think, the kind of incongruity of it, really. Why for export only, not for the Isle of Man? If government can allow hundreds of people and cars to visit McDonald's, then they should allow construction people back to work. I think you're comparing oranges and lemons there, but they've never said takeaways can't open. And McDonald's, I think, is just offering a takeaway, hence the problem with everybody queuing up for a Happy Meal and making some not very happy drivers. Oh, the toilets at St. John's are open, by the way. This is Chris from Manx Independent Carriers. He gets around a bit, doesn't he? The St. John's loos are open. Andy, this is Douglas Corporation show nine public toilets on their advertising boards in summer. Summerhill Glen and the Bottleneck car park, but I know of only three are open in Douglas. Well, we know the Breakwater's open. Which other public loos are open in Douglas? Give employers a break. If employees don't want the vaccine and it precludes the employees from carrying out their work, can they be fired? We're paying VAT, NI, corporation tax. We're paying staff wages. We're funding the benefits being handed out by government. So Julie Edge should think again, says Jack. I agree with Claire Barber, says David. Claire Barber, as long all that want to come should be welcome, as long as they're prepared to live under COVID strict supervision for 3 weeks, pay for two tests and live in hotel accommodation. If people are prepared to do that, then that's fine, says David. Obviously, if people don't, then they're in trouble.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
Text, email or call. Try and get through as many texts as I can. Do we know if the Eastern Civic Community site is open? Well, it was open yesterday. Douglas Tip and St. John's Tip were both open. The north and the south we don't know as well. You can't visit other people's houses. Hence, no buying or selling between individuals, says Nigel. Well, that's the rule. That's what they say. You can't do it. And that's it for the man in line today. You can get in touch out of hours by texting 166177. Call the answer phone 682631. And you can email maninline@manxradio.com. All you need to do is get in touch. As I mentioned, every day we get lots and lots and lots of correspondence. We can't read everything out on air, and but everything does get read out. Don't you think taxi drivers, the final one, should be prioritised for the vaccine, saying they take people for COVID tests, says John. Thank you. Good for Howard. Now, which Howard are we talking about? Oh, by the way, and final message. Apart from thanks to Barry Redfern for producing today, please stop blaming the students. There's no evidence to say the outbreak pre-Christmas was anything to do with the students. Once and for all, please stop blaming the students. Right, that's it for the man in line. Please remember, it's 4 o'clock live on Manx Radio today.
W-I-N-T.
I love my wood-burning stove, and I want it to last. Thank goodness, then.